Welcome to the Ion Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, happy holidays, and welcome to 2014, almost.
Yeah, man, we're like 2 days away from a whole new year.
Whole new year, which means a whole new year of Tara Reid tweets, which she's been tweeting again, which I'm really excited about, because there was like a two-week period where it was nothing from her. And now there's all kinds of pictures in San Francisco and in the woods. It's a good time.
Publicist must have gotten to her and been like, you've dropped down the rankings.
Your basketball podcast mentions are just, they're at an all-time low right now.
How was your Christmas?
My Christmas was excellent. It was very relaxed, very fun, no drama. It was a really good time, just good food. It was everything you would want. How was yours?
Awful.
Kind of feels like the opposite.
It was the worst Christmas ever. I spent a month being like, I'm so excited for Christmas, like getting in the spirit. I was listening to songs and decorating and doing all sorts of stuff. Like I really like bought in this year. Some years I'm just like, no, screw it. Like whatever. I prefer 4th of July. That's my favorite holiday because you get to blow stuff up.
Sure.
But I've like bought in this year, and then I came down with this, some sort of flu thing that was the worst thing ever. I was in bed for 5 days the entire time in Western Nebraska.
Who is more likely to be cast in a movie about like a virus that is just going to destroy the world? Is it you or Pau Gasol right now? Because neither of you can get healthy.
At least I defend the paint, okay? At least I don't complain about my role, all right? I know where I belong.
You're willing to give a hard foul.
Yeah, I know where I belong. Those games on Christmas were not great.
I watched one of them. I watched a little bit of the Rockets game because I realized, oh, I might have to write a grade about this. And then Royce was like, hey, I'm going to write the grade for this one too. I was like, perfect. I'll just watch the Warriors game.
Done.
I followed along on my phone, but not much else.
If you want a great description of hell, having a 102-degree fever, laying in your in-law's musty bed upstairs in western Nebraska without central heat, with a space heater turned on you, having to try and stay awake watching Nets Bulls on your iPad.
Sounds like a good time.
Yeah, that was a low point. That was a low point. I was just like, and like I kept feeling bad because I'd fall asleep and then wake up and be like, oh no, well, something happened. And I'm like, nothing happened. Nothing could happen. Everything that could happen to these teams has already happened.
Everything that could happen to these teams are sitting on a bench in a suit.
Right. Hey, the Warriors look better.
Yeah, it was a fun game, right?
Yeah, the Warriors look better, and they've won 4 straight now. They're doing well.
They got through the tough part of their schedule, and they're getting a little bit of an easy part of their schedule, and things are evening out. That's what happens.
Speaking of
being unruly during the holidays, Andrew Bynum?
Yeah.
That works.
So have you read the ridiculous rumor yet?
No.
The stupid, crazy, whenever this happens, there's always a rumor that comes out that accompanies it, and it's never bored on by anybody of value. So we'll talk about it. but not really. I don't think this is what happened at all, just for the record. But media takeout and
let me guess, he punched Kyrie Irving.
And Perez Hilton? No, what is he? Deion Waiters? No. The idea is that he slept with an assistant coach's wife.
Oh, God.
It's always sex.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's always sex or gambling.
Yeah. So there's that, but instead he suspended indefinitely, and then they lifted it the next day because I really hate when they do this, because it's basically like we're gonna be all tough, we're suspending you indefinitely, and then the lawyer shows up and is like, you realize the NBPA is gonna own you, and they're like, oh, never mind. And so now Andrew Bynum is doing what he does best, getting paid not to play basketball.
Oh, come on, that's not fair. I mean, it's accurate, but that's not fair.
It's true, but
here's the thing.
Like everyone, it was really weird too. Like Cavs fans did it because like he plays for the team, it's fine. They want to get excited, but there's this kind of thing of like everyone being like, oh, like the poor guy, like the injuries, and it's like he got injured bowling last year, guys. Like,
well, I mean, I don't know. That was always a weird story. Like, that's... Okay, he gets injured bowling. Is he not supposed to bowl? It's not like bowling's a dangerous sport, right? It's not like he was Vlad Radmanovic snowboarding or he was Monte Ellis on a moped. Like, he was bowling.
Right, but my understanding is that the doctors were like, you definitely should not be bowling.
I don't know. I don't know that... I find it weird to, like, really harp on him. Like, there's so many other examples of him not taking things seriously.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the thing is, like, there's an extensive history with this guy. Like,
yeah.
You know, and this guy, and I said this, you know, because it was like, oh, like, the injuries have robbed him of his joy of basketball. And it's like, no, man, like, go, like, do your research. Go back. 2008, this stuff was going on with him.
Well,
where people were like, he doesn't really like basketball.
It's a weird conversation because it's something that, I don't know, the fans harp on this guy, and media members do it too. Like, outsiders harp on people who we view don't love the game as much as we think they should, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you're just good at doing something. I ranted about this on Twitter the other day, so this might be pretty redundant. But sometimes you're just good at something that you're not crazy about doing. Now, it doesn't mean, the immediate backlash of that is, oh yeah, he hates basketball. I'm sure he hates basketball. That's why he does it. It's like, no, you don't. There's middle ground. It's possible he doesn't love what he does. He can like it. It can be fun for him. But it's possible that, like, with the amount of pressure that comes with it, with the expectations coupled with the responsibilities you have in terms of, like, I mean, if you look, like, these guys are constantly getting asked to do this, do that outside of the court. Like, there is no real rest time for them, you know. And if they don't do the stuff, they're considered a malcontent and all that. They get paid handsomely in return for it, so there's definitely a literal payoff for it. But I could see how you could not love playing the game of basketball professionally, especially if you're a guy who deals with injuries like that severely all the time.
That's fine. Then don't do it.
No. Why can't he set up his family for financial security? Why does it have to be one or the other? Why can't he?
Then you need to follow through on it. You need to put in the work. If you don't like it, that's fine. But put in the work.
So he's not. So he's not putting in the work.
No.
How do we know? How do you?
No.
That's ridiculous.
He's done.
That's a baseless accusation.
Well, let's see. It was 2000. I believe it was 2000. It was 2008 or 2009. He delays surgery so that he can go on a European vacation. He purposefully delays surgery so that he can make sure that he goes on this vacation, gets back, then has surgery, which takes him later into the year, then misses like three different deadlines of when he was supposed to show significant progress. Everyone that's worked with him has said the same thing, which is the work ethic is not there. He's not Kendrick Perkins busting his ass to get back. And
there's a difference. No, that's ridiculous. There's a huge difference between not having a great work ethic and not doing the work. There is a huge difference between those two. You cannot say someone.
So you think it's fine for him to just basically just him to carry a crappy attitude? This isn't like the injury. This is him having a crappy attitude and then basically being like, you gotta go. And you're saying that that's totally fine, that they paid him $6 million in guaranteed money, that he has this opportunity, that he signed a contract saying, I'll do this, but it's totally fine because he doesn't feel like it.
Wait, why do we know he's not doing anything? How do you know that? That's what I want to know. And yes, you know what? It's absolutely okay for people to have crappy attitudes at times. Does he have a crappy attitude all the time? I don't know. Should he have it all the time? I don't know. Is it possible that it creeps in every now and then when you're frustrated with it?
Then why are these suspended, Zach? What's going on?
I don't know. It's the Cavs. Is every suspension validated? I'm not saying what he's doing is fine. I'm saying to throw out the accusations you're throwing out with very little knowledge that we have, I think is ridiculous. And I think there is a huge difference between having a poor work ethic and quote unquote not putting in the work.
Okay.
That's ridiculous.
Wait, what's the difference?
You can still put in work, not be all that dedicated to it, and you're at least doing something as opposed to not putting in the work. That I mean, there's
you feel he's put in the bare minimum of what he's required to do to get paid and not get crap for it.
I don't know. I haven't been there in his workouts like you have.
Okay.
Maybe you can tell me.
I mean, if you want to just not speculate, that's fine. That's fine. I look at the multiple stories, everything I've read.
I'm fine with speculating.
Years of stuff.
There's a difference between speculating and accusing.
Well, the Cavs are definitely accusing. So, and we'll see, you know, what happens to him. Would the most hilarious scenario not be that the Heat sign him? Would that not be the funniest end of this?
Well, if the Heat signed him and then he became an All-Star again, that would be funny.
That would be pretty funny.
Yeah.
I said that happens, that Gilbert just needs to build the SSFU Cleveland. I mean, or not Gilbert, but Arison.
Why not? Hey, if Gilbert can make money off it, he'll sign on.
Yeah, he'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I just don't. So I guess, so again, you're saying that it's okay for you to not work hard as long as you do what you're, as long as you do the bare minimum of what your contract requires, and then it's okay for you to.
I'm not going to pretend that I work hard in everything I do. The people who end up accusing him of this, like, no offense, you don't work as hard as you can all the time. I don't work as hard as I can all the time. Like, that's a human thing. It doesn't excuse it, but it's also like to pretend that he's the only one that does this and only give him attention for it because he has bad knees and he's an easy target. I don't know that that's fair.
I think this is about the knees. I think this is just your defensive guys with knees.
No, that's ridiculous. No, the guy has injuries. Like, it has nothing to do with me being defensive guys with knees. That's not I'm just not jumping to conclusions. Like, Steve Blake has a torn ligament in his elbow right now. I'm not going to jump all over him for not doing his job because he has a torn ligament in his elbow. It's not a oh, this guy has a bad knee, I feel bad.
They're not connected. This isn't about, if this was just the injury, it'd be one thing. If it was just like, oh, he just really can't do it. But that's not what's going on.
You're right, because he looked like a monster out there this year.
He got suspended for conduct detrimental to the team.
Okay.
Are the players saying, are rumbling about how this is not fair, and are they coming to his defense? And
I don't know. Again, I haven't talked. I'm not as connected to the situation as you are. Like, right. I just
when we have read that, when we have read something about that, wouldn't we, with the amount of information we have at our disposal, have read something about that?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. Stuff comes out at weird times.
Because the Cleveland media that does know, that is there, is reporting a lot of stuff that sounds an awful lot like the team, like the players are pretty much like, yeah, okay, it's like, not a surprise.
I mean, I don't know. I'm not in the situation, so I don't know.
Okay.
I've never been one to just be like, to just latch on to whatever rumors are out there and be like, yep, that's what's going on. I don't know.
Okay.
I just think it's ridiculous to jump on this guy, regardless of his history. Like, it's possible. I mean, to say that your thought process here was, I said, it's possible he just doesn't love what he does and he only likes it. And you said, well, then don't do it. Don't sign up. Don't do it. That's stupid. Like, that's a ridiculous jump.
My point is, if you're going to sign a contract that says you're going to do something, go do it.
Is he the one that wrote in the amount on the check?
No, but he agreed to it, Zach.
Yes, he did agree to it.
He agreed to it. If you agree to something, you should follow through. You should accept the consequences of your decisions.
He didn't work to get back on the court?
I'm sure he did.
So
worked. I'm sure he worked to pick up that $6 million guaranteed, because they bought in.
I don't know. You were oddly angry at him at all times.
I've never appreciated.
This is Vince Carter all over again.
It bugs me that the work ethic is, in my opinion, not good when he's given this huge opportunity. Like, you can have a bad work ethic. It's that happens. You're right. That does happen.
That happens a lot. So the majority of people have bad work ethics.
I also don't think that you should just be that it should be okay. Like, I don't think it should be given away.
I'm not saying it's okay. I'm just not saying like we should vilify the guy.
That's fair. I don't think he's a bad human being. I think that he's a dude that saw an opportunity to make some dough. You know?
It's not like he did anything illegal.
This is also why when it happened, I was one of the people that was like, I don't know, $6 million seems like an awful lot for this gamble. And everyone was like, no, it's totally fine. It's a 1-year deal. That makes it totally okay. They're under the cap. And I'm like, you're still paying someone $6 million.
So it's the amount of money that bothers you.
We talked about this before, where I believe that you it doesn't, like, I don't just believe in the idea that the NBA is so far removed from everything else that it's okay to just blow $6 million if it has no long term impact. I'm like, well, no, you should get return on investment. You should make sure that you're investing.
But that's a low risk, high reward situation.
I felt like the risk was far greater than the odds of a return for the amount of money. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I don't know.
$3 million, I probably would be like, whatever. 6 for some reason is because it's like anything above I think 5, and it's a completely arbitrary thing, and like that I'll admit that. Like if you're just like, no, I would pay $6 million for that, that's fine. I felt like it was high because I thought that there was a good chance that something like this could happen, which is not the injury.
That he would, you thought he would get suspended by the team?
It's not surprising.
Has he ever been suspended by a team before?
I'm pretty sure the Lakers have done it before. I mean, this is the guy that completely ignored the Lakers in the huddles, that completely ignored the coach that he has now, who ironically Mike Brown was like his biggest advocate. This is the guy. There's a bunch of stories about Bynum that go back, way back. I've been blogging about the guy since like 2008 at Fan House.
I too have followed his career. Like I don't. I mean.
No, I know you have. I didn't say you haven't.
No, I know, but it's just, I don't know. It feels weird to just harp on one guy.
There's lots of guys I'll harp on.
And it gets into this weird situation where you're not necessarily doing this, but fans definitely do. It's like, this guy gets paid a lot of money. Why doesn't he do this? I think it's weird. I think it's a weird reaction to have to be mad at somebody for making a lot of money.
You know, I'm not even sure it's about thinking that it's not like, I mean, you could say it's like jealousy, but it's like, why would I not be jealous of everyone that makes more money than me? there's so many people. it's not even so much like, why aren't you living up to your potential? Like, it's more of a man, like, so many guys would kill to have the talent that you do. Like, they would just kill to have this opportunity. Why do you... You know, even if it's just for the money, like they need the money, they want the money just as badly. Like, why would you not commit yourself the way that you could? Like, just be the. And it's not even so much like be. I'm not asking them to be, you know, Mike Miller going in early or Kevin Garnett. I just like being an average NBA player, being an average NBA player with an average NBA player's work ethic. To me, the signs are that is not clear. Now you choose. To think that you, or to say like, I don't know and I have no way of knowing and there's no way I could ever know, and that's okay, that's fine. I'm saying that there's a lot of stuff that's come out in the media, which is what I follow, that gives me another impression.
That's true, and the media never puts out stuff for no reason.
So you think that so reporters in LA, Cleveland, and Philadelphia have all made up stuff about Andrew Bynum because they're meanies?
I'm just saying, like, you preach all the time, like, now this came out for a reason. We don't know why this happened. And then all this stuff comes out about one guy, and you're like,
his stuff isn't like that, though. His stuff is just like, can you believe how dumb this guy is? Like,
Is he dumb or is he just not... He doesn't care. He cares enough to do enough work to get on the court. Like, there is a level of caring. Yeah. It may not be to our liking, but there's a level of caring.
Philadelphia argues that point, but...
Oh, Jesus. Really?
I'm just saying. Made $16 million last year. Didn't play a game.
Yeah, and that's... I mean, they traded for a guy with bad knees.
Okay.
I guess we should be mad at every guy who misses a year.
No, it's not about that.
Derrick Rose missed last year. Made a lot of money.
You know it's not about that. You know it's about the context surrounding it. You want to take the base fact. Again, this is... You get really defensive of guys with knee injuries.
No, this is not that. This is me getting defensive of people assuming they know what's going on. That's what this is.
Or is this your love of the lazy? Maybe that's what this is.
No, this is people jumping to conclusions because they're mad they don't make as much money as this guy. I hate that. I hate that mentality.
I don't care that he makes more money than I do. Like, lots of people make more money than I do.
I don't know. It's weird.
I mean, you've seen guys really work hard to get back from injuries, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen what they show. I'm not in there with workouts.
Right.
That's the thing, is that we... It's like, this is a weird example, but this is what popped in my head. Dwight Howard's a terrible free throw shooter. And people say, well, why doesn't he work on it? Why doesn't Andrew Bynum work harder to get back on the court? How do you know he's not doing the work? That's what I want to know.
Well, years ago, and it came out the doctors were like, make sure you're not doing anything that's like weight-bearing. Don't put any weight on your knees. Like, make sure you just walk, you know, you can do some stuff, but don't like do anything crazy. And then he showed up and was dancing and partying with a girl on his shoulders at a Playboy house party.
Okay.
So there's that instance. And he's had these repeated instances of always missing his, like, he came back, I think, in 2010, and he missed like three different times of not like.
And so this is him not putting in the work to do that, or his body didn't respond the way they expected?
And that's a good question. I think that if it's consistently happening when you have the best care in the world, it's a little weird, isn't it?
So Greg Oden didn't do any work.
No,
Greg
Oden also doesn't have the accusation hanging around him that he doesn't put in the work ethic. Like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, like talked about this extensively.
But like, wait. Why? What is it? Simply, it's okay because he doesn't have those rumors about him.
I think that you have to look at not evidence, but at least the stuff that's out there. And when you're making an estimation, I don't think you just ignore everything just because you're like, oh, he's injured, therefore he gets a pass on everything.
What I'm saying.
I mean, you know what? Monta Ellis just went. He went for a joyride. What's the big deal?
No, I don't know. I don't like the idea of just picking and choosing because.
Okay. But I'm not picking and choosing because. I'm picking and choosing because stuff came out about this guy.
Okay.
Stuff has consistently come out about this guy.
Greg Oden missed, you know, whatever deadlines he needed. He couldn't come back. His body didn't respond.
He didn't get injured bowling, Zach.
No, he was an alcoholic, though.
After he was already, like, in the pit of recovery. Like, he wasn't coming back anytime soon, and that was...
Did Andrew Bynum get injured bowling before he was injured?
I don't know. I wouldn't rule it out.
Sure. All right. Let's move on. This is ridiculous.
I agree. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about?
I don't know. What's next?
Did you watch anything last night?
No. Oh, here's what we talk about. Russ. Russ is out.
Yeah.
Russell Westbrook out until at least the All-Star break. Post-All-Star break is his return, but that doesn't mean he's back the first game.
I'm not worried about him. I'm really not. Is it weird? Because everyone was like, uh-oh. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, Kobe's 35, so that plays into why I was worried about him.
The only part that worries me about this Westbrook thing is that it's a new part of his knee, I guess, that is showing damage.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's, I don't know if spreading is the right word, but if it's aggravating other parts of the same knee that has been recovering, they say he hasn't been playing through pain. So, you know, it's apparently a new thing, but I don't know. That aspect of it worried me a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he's young. He's shown, he's already come back from injury like before he was supposed to, right?
And he was fine. I mean, he had some rust to work off, but.
And then he's looked awesome the last couple. That was what was weird about it.
December he destroyed. I mean,
he kicked ass on Christmas, and then 2 days later, like, oh, no, he's got some soreness. I mean, I like that he's staying on top of it, though. And it's also, like, it's arthroscopic. Like, these guys get the arthroscopic thing done all the time. And I think with the Thunder, they're just like, we're not going to take any chances. We're not going to just let you wait until the off season because,
right.
You know, what if something else happens? Either what if this gets complicated or right. There's no reason for it. Like, we know we can hang.
Yeah, and then you get, I mean, if they do, like, oh, we'll see if you can manage it, play through, and then something worse does happen, it comes out that they knew about this before, that's just, I mean, that's a PR nightmare as well as detrimental to the player.
How the hell they put 117 up on Houston yesterday? Like, I know Houston's on 4 and 5 nights, but I was like, wow.
Well, that's... Houston is on 4 and 5 nights.
Yeah. But, I mean, are we right? You know, it was like, okay, they look pretty good. Like, we'll see how they do. Are we ready to buy into OKC's bench now?
Oh, yeah.
You're in on Jeremy Lamb and
well, Reggie Jackson. I was in when Reggie Jackson was the backup point guard. Now Derek Fisher's the backup point guard.
Yeah, it's a little bit harder. But, yeah. I mean, once he gets healthy. Like.
Yeah, once he gets healthy, assuming he gets healthy. They run, what, 9 deep? Maybe 10 deep? But Adams is clearly a good backup center. Collison is Collison. Like, we're both sold on him.
Yeah.
Reggie Jackson's, you know, if he got to come off the bench for the entire year, he's a sixth man of the year candidate. And Lamb has, I'm not big on Lamb's game, but he's been good. It's, you know, you can't deny that.
You were questioning on Reggie Jackson for a while. Has he impressed you?
Yeah, I've questioned how he can run a team. It's not so much. It's not so much that, like, I know he can score, but it's his ability.
It's kind of the same thing with Bledsoe.
Yeah, like, you just got to see a guy run a team for a while before you know whether or not. But I've been impressed with the way he runs. Like, he's not just going out there, jacking up shots with the second unit. Like, he's actually running them. And when he was in the preseason, I mean, when we saw him in the playoffs last year, he was like, he ran the team about as well as you could expect under the circumstances. So yeah, I'm good on him now.
What else? Yeah, Houston was all ready to be like, okay, like they're, you know, they finally hit their stride, and then like last night happened, and I was like, oh, and then some people, everybody's like, well, it's 4 in 5 nights. I was like, ah, damn it, like can't I missed their good games. I haven't seen them play well in a while.
Yeah, I mean, they looked great. I actually did go back and watch the Spurs Rockets game from Christmas. They looked great in that game.
I didn't know if that was true or if I was hallucinating. So.
I just Harden's been really good lately. And,
yeah,
and when Harden's good, you have to feel good about them.
He's in a really weird place, I think, with the basketball zeitgeist, I guess would be the term, just because last year it was like this revelation of holy crap, like he's even better than we thought he was. You know, yeah. He was an MVP candidate early in the year, and then now he's got the expectations on him, so now everyone's kind of assessment of him is entirely different. But I just keep noticing that, like, game to game, he switches from being really locked in to it looks like he's going through the motions sometimes, and he still draws enough fouls that he winds up scoring a bunch of points.
Yeah.
But there's times where it looks like he's not even trying to score the bucket. He's just like, all right, and then I'll euro step, and then you'll foul me, and then I'll go to the line. Like, he's definitely punching the clock, you know?
Yeah, I think the weird thing is, before he was a super six man who didn't play any defense. And it's like, well, yeah, he's not playing defense, but look what he does for you off the bench. Yeah. And then last year was, oh my God, he's a superstar. Like, sure, he doesn't play any defense, but, you know, he's a star. Like, he's legit. And now it's, well, he's a superstar. Why isn't he playing any defense? It's this weird, like, roller coaster of like, you make excuses. You make excuses. Yeah, that's the thing. He's never seemed to care on defense, or at least, I don't know. He doesn't look like he's sweating too much on defense.
Yeah.
And before it's just like, oh, he's fine. He's doing this. And now it's like, well, you're the star. You're supposed to set the example. By the way, Dwight Howard in the month of December is incredible. He's averaging like 19 and 14. He's just under 60% from the field. He's like 58% from the free throw line.
Wow.
Like, for him, that's a huge improvement, right?
And he's like 100% from three, right?
I think so. No. He's 50% from three.
Oh.
He had a second
attempt. Still, that's a great percentage.
Yeah, 50%. He's in the 50-50-50 club right now.
Steph Curry's not shooting like that. by the way, speaking of Steph Curry, I think it's time that we start talking about his assists, like we did talk about his passing ability.
He can sling it.
The kid's stat line's been absurd.
He's
last night, 29-9-11.
Yeah, he's a little sloppy with it, because you know his turnovers are still high. And he'll still have a couple of like 7 turnover games, but for the most part, like when he's not doing that lazy underhand pass, like his passing's incredible.
Yeah, they look good. I didn't even talk about Al Horford. God, why are there so many damn injuries? This has got to stop.
It's the way of the world.
I'm so sick of it. Like, I just feel like we've had enough. Like, enough. Like, you've already taken everyone from us.
Like, yeah, we get it.
Yeah, we understand.
We get it. You can take this from us. Now stop it.
You were vengeful and cruel. We understand. Point taken. Quit kicking us. Because, like, the Hawks now, I mean, you know, like, they could, you know, they could still make the playoffs because the East, but...
Oh, they're going to—they're a lock for the playoffs.
You think, even without Horford? I mean,
yeah.
That's their best player by a lot.
Yeah, but they're still in the East. Toronto is the 4 seed right now at 13-15. Like, I think the Hawks are going to get to 35 wins, which is probably home court advantage in the first round.
Jesus, that's so bad.
Look at it, though.
I guess that leads us into the other thing we were going to talk about, which is...
hey, it's your weekly crap report with the New York basketball scene.
New York basketball scene. So, you're the fan of the... It's a long season. I want to wait. Where are you at with these two?
They're 3 and 4 games out of the playoffs. Yeah. The Nets are 3 games out. Like, I think the Nets are probably a lock to make the playoffs, even without Brook Lopez. And then the Knicks, I don't know, they're 4 games out... The last 3 have been without Carmelo, right?
Yeah.
I wrote this in Power Tankings today. Like, I don't know how... Like, even without Carmelo, I don't know how you don't split a Raptors back-to-back home-and-home.
That would be the question.
Even without Carmelo, I feel like you can get hot for one game.
It's really hard to win back-to-back games. That's really hard to do. Unless you're facing the Knicks. and then it's not nearly
as difficult. And then you do it by double digits each night.
I mean, yeah, man. And they were competitive in that first one. They had the lead.
Yeah. And then the fourth quarter.
And then Toronto flipped the switch.
I don't know that they flipped the switch. I think the Knicks just like were like, we're gonna go to the spa. I need a nice seaweed wrap.
The Knicks had what I referred to as the mirror moment, where they look in the mirror. Oh, that's right. We're terrible. Okay, that's right.
And it sounds like they're gonna waive Chris Smith to bring Jeremy Tyler aboard.
That's too bad.
That'll fix it.
See, but at least I can get on board with that move. Like, at least that's like, okay, Jeremy Tyler, he hasn't shown anything.
I guess, is Cole Aldrich hurt?
I don't know.
I don't even think Cole Aldrich is good. I'd rather play him.
Yeah. They're looking for a spark. I'm really surprised that neither of them have made a panic move. I'm pretty shocked that...
Here's the thing. I don't know what move they can make.
Well, they could have done the Lowry deal. Easy. And I think firing Kidd, like, at this point, firing Kidd seems like there's absolutely no way that it could be worse.
Well, part of the problem is you have to get Prokhorov on the phone and remind him he owns the Nets. That's always tricky.
Satellite phones, it's inconsistent.
Yeah. We've all seen Congo. We know how those satellite phones don't always work.
I saw Wolf of Wall Street this week.
Oh, I want to see that.
Yeah, you should. It's a lot. Somebody said vulgar, and I was like, oh, that's the word I was looking for. I got a little nauseous watching it, not going to lie.
To be fair, you also had a fever.
Yeah, I also had
109.
109 fever, so. I just, you know, Yahoo came out the report that the kids, that basically the they're getting restless, that the team's starting to be like, We don't really. I mean, if you're Garnett and Pierce, you got to be like, I didn't sign up for this. I could have just stayed in Boston.
Yes, it's. I would like to know that GIF from the weekend where Kevin Garnett is yelling something and the mother in the background covers her kid's ears.
Was so amazing.
That's the highlight of the season for me. It was that, and then Jason Kidd spilling the drink. Those are the two best moments of the season have been Nets.
Do you remember when that happened, and then a bunch of the columnist writers across America were like, this just shows you what Kidd's willing to do to win, and this is why he'll turn this team around?
Honestly, I really thought it was a brilliant coaching move.
I thought it was a parlor trick. I was like, what are you, a magician? What are you doing? Watch as I make a timeout magically appear.
Oh, God. What if just the rest of the season he was doing a Joe Bluth impersonation?
I was just about to go there and say that they should have the final countdown play.
What if he just starts calling out plays by like holding a knife in his mouth and flashing playing cards?
Exactly. Pays is fine. Pays is fine. With a million pennies!
Squirts lighter fluid all over Danny Crawford as he's making a call.
Yes.
But where did the lighter fluid come from?
Are you chicken?
That's how he's signaling the pick and roll coverage.
Yeah, it's like
they still have enough talent to win. Though. I mean, not win, but you know what I mean. Like, make.
Yeah,
the
I know. It's like, but they're only three or four games out. But I'm also like, I also start wondering like if Orlando's gonna be like, screw it, let's go make the playoffs. Like,
can they even? But all right, here's the thing about Orlando. Can they even do that? I mean, I know they're only three games out, and they seemingly have a deeper team right now, but there's just something about them. They cannot win away from Amway Center. Amway Center? Amway Arena? Wherever they play.
Amway Center, I think.
Yeah. Because that's a team where I keep looking at them, I'm like, this team could, you know, could screw this whole tanking thing and just go. Really make them run for it. And then I look, I'm like, that's asking a lot out of certain guys.
Yeah, I don't know. I think if they can find a rhythm, they can. Because it's like, you know, they can't play it all away from home. And I'm like,
the Knicks can't play at home.
4-12 at home.
Yeah, the Knicks can't play at home. So.
So, Like, who's got the better chance here? Like, I just look at it and I'm like, can Jameer Aflalo, Tobias Harris, and Vucevic play well for a month in March to get them some cushion to get them into, like, the seventh seed? I think so. Like, I think that could definitely happen. I'm not burying Chicago yet either.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're not going to try to miss anything. Like, Tibbs is going to go out, like, make sure they make the playoffs, right?
Yeah,
I don't see them selling. I mean, there's talk about them trying to move Dang, but I don't know. I have a hard time seeing that happening.
You know, they said that they've taken him off the market. They're accepting calls, but they're not actively trying to shop him. Is how it's being portrayed, which is the same that everyone says. But I think it's if they could just figure out a point guard solution, that's their thing. When they let Nate Robb go. You know, if they had Nate Robb, they'd be fine.
Yeah.
They'd just be like last year, you know. And it's true that, like, he wasn't going to help them. I don't mind them letting him go. But just that's who they need.
Yeah, they need – what about Gennaro Pargo? He was Nate Robb for, like, a couple of games once.
Is he playing the league a lot? I don't know. Is...
He's on the Pelicans? Or the Bobcats?
Yeah.
He's somewhere. He's on one of those teams.
On one of those teams.
He's always in the league. I've seen him on a roster this year.
Yeah,
he's on the Bobcats. Actually,
you mentioned the Pelicans. I think who do they have at the end of the bench? What would the Pelicans take for Brian Roberts?
I don't know. The box set of the Larry Sanders Show. I mean, I can't imagine. I like Brian Roberts. I can't imagine someone be like, "What's it going to take to get him off your roster?"
Eric Murphy in a second rounder.
Yeah, I think that's more than enough.
Maybe you could send back some filler? Send Amundsen back, too.
Filler? Yeah. These guys don't make $1 million.
Yeah.
Filler?
Like, it's like cream puff filler. you gotta have a real little pastry gun.
What if we took this watermelon-flavored Oreo and double-stuffed it? Which, by the way, I still cannot believe. That was months ago that came out. It might have been during the summer. But watermelon-flavored Oreo. What a horrendous idea.
I've seen some awful ones.
I don't even like regular Oreos.
You don't like Oreos?
There's too much going. There are too many stipulations. There's too many. It's like, oh, well, if you twist it and you lick the filling and then you dunk it and you... It's too much going on. I just want a cookie I can eat. It's like a gremlin.
You don't have to. You could just eat it. You don't have to separate it and do all that.
Very,
you just eat
very
it.
Very dry mouthed.
But it's got the cream filling.
It's not cream, though.
It's true. It's like icing.
Yeah, it's like an icing. I'm not a big icing person, so maybe that's the key.
Well, yeah, that's a huge part.
I like my cake as cake. I don't want, like, five layers of frosting on top of it. I just swipe that off.
There's a creamsicle Oreo, by the way.
That I could get behind.
Banana split cream.
Actually, I was thinking of, like, a creamsicle, like a popsicle that you just had like Oreo crumbles on. That I could get behind. Not a creamsicle flavored Oreo.
Strawberry milkshake cream.
That sounds like a revolution.
Rainbow sherbet.
Why don't they just make ice cream? All they're doing is putting ice cream flavors
they
on
do.
Oreos.
Well, I mean, they do. They have Oreo flavored ice cream. Oreo flavored ice cream is like really popular.
Yeah, just do that. Don't, or
ugh.
Just...
Oh, candy cane. Oh.
Ugh. Candy canes, I have a theory. Candy canes are only good in those mini candy cane versions.
Okay, here's two that are the worst. Candy corn and lemon twist.
Candy corn on its own, just as a candy, is horrendous. I don't understand people that like candy corn. What was the other one?
Lemon twist. Think about that.
It feels like when they were trying to like put like a lemon flavoring in Coca-Cola. Didn't they do that back in the day with like Diet Coke or something?
I think so. The mint ones are popular. I don't like mint, though. I don't like mint thin mints either.
Oh, I love... I love me a thin mint. I'd take a thin mint any day over an Oreo.
Yeah. Well, we can't be friends, so...
So, yeah, I don't know what the Bulls would have to give up for Brian Roberts, but I can't imagine it's much.
Some reduced fat Oreos, which is a flavor, by the way. Yeah, I mean, that would help them. So, there's the Bulls. The Cavs are still the Cavs. And then
that's the thing. They're still very much in it.
And it's also like, all right, which of these teams is going to get worse, right? So Indiana, Miami, Atlanta, Toronto, Washington, Charlotte, Detroit, Boston.
I mean,
which of those teams is...
I think we both feel like Toronto and Boston could really fall out, right?
But they can't both, because somebody's got to win. Well, yeah, all right. So it would be one of those New York teams.
Yeah, let's pretend Brooklyn gets their stuff together and wins the division.
Right. So basically, like, they finish with like a record that's like the 8th seed, but they wind up winning the division, so they get the 4th.
Right. That's what I hope happens. I hope the division winner in the Atlantic is actually an 8th seed record.
I at this point, the thing is if they do that, there's no, like, they're not going to face anybody in the 5th seed that they can't beat either.
Right.
So they could make the second round, and then that's the question. Okay, so last year they had this awesome regular season record, and then they made the second round and got beat, and it was a massive disappointment. If they make the second round this year, is it like, oh, they ended, it was like a good year because they came back from that massive, that terrible start? Like, should it be considered the same amount of failure?
If the Nets make the second round?
Yeah.
If the Nets make the second round based on what's happened so far this season, I think that's a hilarious success.
What about the Knicks?
If the Knicks make the second round? If the Knicks make a second round, I may throw them a parade. Just because I want to see J.R. Smith in his element. J.R. Smith should lead the Thanksgiving Day parade every year, right? The Macy's one? Shouldn't he be like the band leader for it all?
The Grand Marshal?
The Grand Marshal, yeah.
He's got the baton.
I mean, the problem is you'd have to start it at 3 a.m. But I don't know. I'd be willing to wake up early for that. Or extend my evening.
Oh, I asked this question. Is the Andrea Bargnani trade, has it been good or bad for them?
They gave him a first-round pick, so it's bad. Mm. I don't think that... I don't know how you can talk yourself into it. I tried. I really tried when it happened. I was like, maybe this... No, it's... He's not adding anything to the team, and you gave up a first-round pick to get him.
But it's like he's shooting okay, and he's making mid-range jump shots.
Yeah, that's – I mean, he's Dante Cunningham then.
Oh, man, that's harsh.
He's an $11 million Dante Cunningham without the
defense. Hey, you're Wolves. How happy are you?
Hey, they hit an easy part of the schedule, and now they're taking advantage. I wonder who could have predicted that.
Did you predict that?
I did predict that. They're fine. I mean, you know, they're not going to make the second round or anything, but I feel confident they'll make the playoffs.
I don't know. I mean, they get the... No, they're not making... What? I mean, maybe if Portland fell to the 3 and they got the 6, they could knock off Portland.
Again, I don't see them getting the 6, but... even, I don't know, I guess maybe if you had a 2-7 matchup between the Wolves and Portland... I don't know. I like Portland's roster more than I like the Wolves right now. But I guess maybe I could talk myself into that. That's too much to add. I'd be happy for the playoffs. That's what I want. I don't need to think about second round, right? Baby steps. Get to the playoffs. Next year you think about that.
Dallas is 500 in the last 10.
Yeah.
And they're in the 8th seed now.
Yeah.
So
I mean, that's the team that falls out, right?
Yeah, I just, you know...
Phoenix, everyone... maybe? I don't know. It's hard. I'm in on this Phoenix team now.
I mean, the Golden State loss was kind of sobering. That was the only thing that kind of gave me pause when it was like, yeah. they just got their asses kicked.
They're so good at home, though.
Yeah.
They really are so good at home.
Yeah, 11-4 at home.
Yeah.
They're as good as Golden State is at home. Like, yeah. That's crazy.
I feel like this home court advantage thing for Golden State has been overblown for years.
Really?
I don't know that they're that much better at home than anybody. I think it's just because they have it's a loud crowd.
Yeah.
That people just assume, oh, look, it's an advantage. I'm not saying it's not an advantage, but like this massive, like, it's not like the Celtics in the 80s at the Boston Garden, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're better at home than they are on the road. Most teams are, except the Knicks. The Knicks would rather play road games right now. But I don't know that it's this... Like, I just... I don't... Have they had... Even when they were... when they're successful, have they been, 37-4 at home or anything, you know?
Yeah. And most of the West teams are pretty good at home. Like, yeah. New Orleans is 8-5.
Yeah.
New Orleans is 8-5. Denver's 7-6. Minnesota's... 9-4.
For example, last year, Warriors were 28-13 at home, which is not bad, but there were six other teams in the West that had better home records.
Maybe it's that I think it maybe because they when they win at home they win so emphatically. So when they win big. So maybe that's it. I don't know. Maybe you're right. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just a good team that happens to play as well at home as they do a little bit better than at home than they do on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure. Like again, I'm sure it's an advantage, but I don't know. For all this, like, oh, their home crowd's so amazing, which it is. It's a fun environment. I don't know how much it really like helps them get to another level.
You want to do games?
Let's do games.
All right. Detroit Pistons, who have not looked good lately, it opened at Pistons by 4. It's now Pistons by 2.5.
Ooh.
Bradley Beal avoided a major injury. We had one guy not get seriously injured. It looked like he was going to.
Yeah, he was in Minnesota the other night, Friday night, and he looked like, literally carried him off the floor. Like,
yeah.
Both feet in the air carried him off the floor. It looked kind of scary.
I'll take the Wizards here. Actually, I don't like how Detroit's playing right now.
Yeah, I think Detroit's gotta show me a little bit before I start buying into them again, just because they've looked so bad lately. So I'll take 2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll take that.
The Pelicans are at home and they're favored. They're 2.5 point dogs to Portland.
I'll go Portland. This Pelicans team is tantalizing though.
They started to play better, but this is what they do to me. I'm taking Portland. This is what New Orleans has done this to me too many times, where I start to believe in them and then they wet the bed.
Yeah.
So. Okay. The Grizzlies, who I don't understand how they've been winning, but they have been and winning pretty convincingly. This one from a pick'em to the Grizzlies are now favored by 4.5 at home.
Ooh.
Over the Bulls.
Yeah, I like that. I think you have to believe that. Their style of defense is going to be really hard for the Bulls to score on, and that's not to say the Bulls can't defend them well either, but I just think that that's a thing where they will, you know, grit and grind them throughout 48 minutes and eventually it'll break.
So 61-57.
61-54, final score.
61-54. University of Chicago Bulls lose.
UIC loses to Memphis.
To Memphis Grizzlies U. To grit grind U. Your Timberwolves,
yes.
Opened at 5, is now down to 4.5. Timberwolves are hosting the Dallas Mavericks tonight.
I like the Wolves to win, but I don't know that they cover. I think I'll take the Mavericks. I think it's a close one.
I'll take Minnesota. I don't like how Dallas is playing right now, and but I am excited for you to have Monta have it all, though.
Ooh, yeah. I'm excited to watch Monta. I want to go talk to him.
Kevin Love's been ridiculous, by the way. Just.
Yeah, you could make the argument that he's playing as well as anybody.
Oh, God. So why do you hate the phrase, you can make the argument?
Because you can make any bad argument. If you're decent at arguing, you can make any bad argument.
Doesn't the phrase suppose that you can't really make an argument, that you're just stating it, but you're not actually making it? Argument, you're just stating.
Then what the hell is the point of that?
That isn't it to say that you can make a reasonable case for? Isn't that it's what it's actually saying?
I don't know. I think it's just needless talking. That's what I view it as. I hate that phrase. I've used it in the past. I'm probably used it on this podcast this season. But the more I think about it, the more I hate that phrase. And I'm going to attempt to ban it from the lexicon.
Okay. You're declaring war.
I'm declaring war on you can make the argument.
Okay.
Who's to say I wouldn't?
You can make the argument. the Bobcats are on the road in Utah. The Jazz are favored by 2.
Jazz are 5-5 in their last 10.
Yeah. Playing a little bit better.
Weird thing, too, and I know part of this is injuries. I wrote this in Power Tankings. Trey Burke, Alec Burks, Gordon Hayward, Enes Kanter, and Derek Favors, that lineup, has played 15 minutes together this year, according to NBA.com.
Huh.
Only 15. They kill, too. I mean, talk about a small sample, but they're like plus 21 per 100 possessions when that lineup's on the floor, but only 15 minutes. Let's see that lineup a little bit more.
In unrelated news, Jazz fans are hoping Ty Corbin gets fired.
I'll go Bobcats. I like the way they're playing.
Yeah, me too. They're so good when they're underdogs. I always think the Bobcats when they're the underdog. I'm going to see the Heat tonight.
Yeah, you are.
Miami Heat are in here in Denver. I have no idea about LeBron's status. I have no idea about Wade's status. I don't really care. Miami's favored by 2, and I'm taking them easy.
They play yesterday? No.
No, day before. They had that big win in Portland without James.
That's right. I'll go Miami.
The Suns are 8-point dogs on the road versus the Los Angeles Clippers.
Game of the night?
Yeah, definitely game of the night.
Maybe Blazers Pelicans. 8-point dogs? That's a lot of points. They're on the road. Okay, I'm going to trust the Clippers here.
Yeah, I'm taking the Clippers just because if I don't, then if I don't trust them, then they'll win by 15, and if I do, they'll probably lose. So that's happening.
Yeah.
Let's see. Kevin Love under 40 combined points and rebounds.
40 combined points and rebounds?
Yeah.
I'll say over. He should destroy this Mavericks team on the boards.
Yeah.
I mean, he really should. Maybe Peck picks off a bunch of them because they're trying to box Love out. But no, I'll go over for points and rebounds at 40. He's just, my God, he's been insane lately. He's been insane all season.
Yeah, he's been really, really good.
Yeah.
Are we having a show tomorrow?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, we'll do one, and then you want to do like New Year's resolutions tomorrow or something?
That's what we'll do. That's a very easy gimmicky thing that we should definitely do, so we don't have to.
I wish
think
we had
a
producer
it.
So we could do like the best moments of the year. Like we could just do a clip show.
Oh yeah, maybe Serge could do that for us.
I'm not sure what clips would possibly be on it.
It would probably just be all of our hilarious wrong pickings for picks of the night.
Exactly. I'm sure the Lakers are going to turn this around at some point.
Yeah. No, the Suns are definitely going to lose tonight.
Oh, come on. There's no way that New York loses another game.
Bet your savings that the Blazers beat the Wolves.
Yeah, that one was not.
Hey, worked out for me.
It did work out for you.
I'll reverse jinx myself all night long.
And I'm already calling calling Colts 31, Chiefs 13. I'm already calling
you.
I'm either going to be right, and if I'm wrong, it means my favorite team actually won a playoff game. So
see, I'm going the other way. I'm going like 34-20 Niners over the Packers. I'm going confident. It'll probably bite me in the ass, but I'm going confidence.
What a shocking move from you. Got out of your comfort zone there.
It is the only franchise that I like that I'm always confident in. It's weird. Well, not always. There were a few years where I just knew that they were going to lose, but now I'm back. I'm back to annoying 10-year-old Zach, who just believes the Niners will win every game convincingly.
Because they're awesome. Why do you think they're going to win? Because they're awesome. Because the Packers suck.
Yeah, because the Packers are a bunch of girls.
All right. Thanks,
Zach. Thanks, Matt.